Good morning. Can you imagine today is the last day of 2017? We've actually made it. You know, at the end of the year, it's normal for us to look back. How do we look back? Each one of us, I'm sure, can look back with thankfulness. Just the fact that we are here today is a blessing, is a gift from God. You know, when I go to India and tell people that I'm from Chicago, they always are amazed that I'm alive still. With all the news coverage that we get about Chicago, even this year there are about, 3,500 shootings in Chicago and over 650 homicides. And so when you tell someone you're from Chicago, they're just thankful that you're alive, and so should each one of us be. Then you think of the tragedies that have happened, the tragedy in Las Vegas, when you think of the California Thomas fires, it's just, there's so much to be thankful for. Just the health and strength that we have to get up out of bed, get into a car on a day when the weather is minus, when the wind chill is about minus two, just to get here safely is something to be thankful for. We also can be thankful for the jobs that we have, jobs that we've kept this whole year, our homes that have been kept safe. We think of the hurricanes that happened in Houston and Puerto Rico. After 3 months, I was just watching a show this past week, after 3 or 4 months after the hurricane, still there are about 65% of the homes are without power. When we think of surgeries that took place, surgeries that were avoided, when we think of job searches that were fulfilled, when we think of marriages taking place, when we think of babies born, when we think of release from prison, when we think about the approval of our church building project, we were concerned about it. We are thankful. We are thankful for the blessings of those around us, our families, our friends, our church families, our neighbors. We are thankful for the opportunities we have to serve, whether it's at the chapel, social services, serving in other ministries, opportunities to give for the work of the Lord. All these are blessings. Our chapel fund, raising funds. When we heard the number, when we heard of what it was going to cost us to build out for the elevator, we were flabbergasted. And we were even more flabbergasted when we found out that we had raised the funds for that. God provides amazingly. Now, if we are honest with ourselves, I'm sure a lot of us look back and we have several things that we regret. And if you look at that, we probably all regret having not kept our New Year resolutions from last year, from 2017. We regret missed opportunities to share the gospel, to do good, to serve, to donate to ministries. I'm often reminded of that sentence that says, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. We have regrets about mistakes made, about sins committed, going back to bad habits, hurts inflicted on people, regrets of not having worked hard enough in the areas that we need to improve, not having worked hard enough at school, at our jobs, at our relationships. We have regrets about our struggles with our devotions, with our prayer life, with our relationship with God. Now, we also would look back at struggles we've had in areas where things were out of our control. When we think of sicknesses, when we think of surgeries, when we think of Judy being in the hospital the last couple of days, when we think of cancer diagnosis, when we think of accidents, deaths, sorrow of separation, lost jobs, not having been able to find jobs, financial burdens, children and family members going away from the Lord, broken relationships. Some of these were out of our control. Most of these, all of these are generally out of our control. But at the end of the year, when we look back and we do think of things that we are to be thankful for, when we do think of regrets that we have, and when we do think of struggles that we've had, it is definitely a good thing for us to do that, to look back, reminding ourselves of all the things that we have, all the blessings that we've received from the Lord. It also, most importantly, reminds us that we are not in control of our lives. There might be certain things that we need to do to improve our lot in life, but I'm sure you'll agree that a vast majority of our life is in the hands of the God of heaven. Now, we also, at this time, end of the year, look forward. At the beginning of a new year, we always look forward to new beginnings. We're ready to start afresh. We're ready to have new year resolutions. We're excited about what to expect in the year ahead. We also, again, want to think of what I can do to improve my lot in life, to improve my different areas in our lives. We're also wondering what are the challenges we're going to face this coming year. And we want to establish certain goals for tomorrow. Now, I don't know with you, but in my case, I find it's easier to ask God for help for the future than it is to give thanks to God for His provisions in the past. We're often guilty of easily or quickly forgetting the blessings that we've received from God, the successes that we've had, and we casually imagine that it was because of our abilities, our strengths, our capabilities, our education that we've gotten to where we've gotten. We've sat here on Wednesdays and prayed over the past year for so many things, and we have received answers to their prayers. And we try our best to remember to give thanks to God when we have those answers to prayers. But quite often we forget. It is important that we take time to thank God for all that we've received from Him this past year. Before we move on to new prayers and requests for the new year, let us make sure that we pause for a moment today and make sure that we thank God for His faithfulness in our lives this past year. Acknowledge that He is or was Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and that we, whatever happened this past year, was not really in our own strength. Can we on this last day say, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us? I'd like for us to see the importance of giving thanks to God for our circumstances from the lives of three different people in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see the story about King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon. He, a very powerful and successful king. He was a feared king, a vast kingdom. And in Daniel 4, we read that one day Nebuchadnezzar is on the roof of his palace. He looks around and says, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power for the glory of my majesty?" Looking at everything that he sees around him and patting himself on the back. Verses 31 to 34 of Daniel chapter 4 says, "The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from the people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone He wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of the heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. What a fall from power. Not that Nebuchadnezzar did not know the power of the God of Israelites. He acknowledged the God of the Israelites, and when he saw what happened to Daniel, when he saw what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but here he goes from the most powerful emperor of his day to roaming the fields like an animal when he takes pride in what he has achieved. Let that be a warning to us. On the other hand, we look at Job, and we all know the story of Job. God tested Job and took away everything he had, even took away his children, afflicted him with diseases. Yet, Job was able to say, "The Lord gave, the Lord took, blessed be his name." The Lord gave, the Lord took, blessed be his name. As we look back at the last year, can we say of the same, of some of the regrets and the areas of sadness that we've had, that the Lord put us in those situations, blessed be his name? Can we learn from the life of Job? Now, in the New Testament, we have a parable that Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 on, where Jesus says, "Then he said to them, 'Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions.' And he told them this parable: 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." I'd like to take that example for us to remember to give thanks to God for what he's given us and for what he's allowed us to enjoy even in 2017. If we cannot, let us be careful that it's so easy for this to be any one of us. Let us be careful that we are thankful to the Lord for everything that he's given to us this past year. This past Friday, I decided to do some shoveling of the snow. We wait, the snow has to be a few inches before someone comes to help us with the snow, so we didn't have as much snow. So I started shoveling a little bit. Did a few straight rows and then decided this was getting a little too much for me. So I went to the gas station and brought a little gas and put it into an old snowblower that we had. It's a 20-year-old snowblower. Every year I take it out about once every year and try it out. And it's amazing. This thing chugged for a couple of minutes and then started, and I was able to actually use the snowblower. Here is a reliable snowblower, and the reason I know it's reliable because every time I take it out once a year, it works, and I'm thankful for it. And you can be sure that I'm going to recommend a Toro snowblower to anyone that's looking for one, because it was a reliable machine. Now, at this time of the year, we look at characteristics of God. And one of the characteristics of God that we look for at this time of the year, or at least try to study and try to remind ourselves about, is the faithfulness of God. When we think of faithfulness, we think of reliability, we think of trustworthiness, we think of loyalty, truthfulness, fidelity, stability, constancy, or consistency. Now, the reason God is faithful is because of his attribute of immutability, where it says God cannot change. Malachi 3:16 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." The fact that he cannot change or does not change makes him reliable or consistent. or it's even because of his holiness or perfection of God. He is complete. There is no need or there's no way for him to change because he is complete in himself. Why do we call God faithful, or how do we know God is faithful? We see it in his word. His word tells us that he is faithful. His word also shows us or demonstrates that he's faithful when we see the examples of his faithfulness to the people in God's word, that he talks about in God's word. We see fulfillment of his promises in the word when we think of the coming of Christ, when we think of the resurrection, the ascension, when we think about all the prophecies that the word has, God's word has, and the fact that they were fulfilled, it gives us confidence that he is faithful. And then, of course, each one of us looks at our own experiences in life, and we know that God is faithful, whether it was to our grandparents, to our parents, in our own lives, and in the lives of our children. We have confidence that God is faithful because of our own experiences. Now, I went and tried to pick up verses that talked about God's faithfulness. I'd like to share a few of those with you. Please pay attention to them as I read them. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God." Psalm 36:5 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." Psalm 89:8 says, "The Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you." He is surrounded by his faithfulness. Psalm 91:4 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark." Psalm 119:90, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast." As I just mentioned, we've seen his faithfulness in the lives of our grandparents, our parents, our own lives, and we can be sure that he will be faithful to those generations coming behind us. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Lamentations 3:22-23. 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." 2 Thessalonians 3:3, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Hebrews 10:23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." God is faithful. His word reminds us and continues to remind us that he is faithful. Now, when we look at the Bible and all the stories of different people, have you wondered, why do we have such a big Bible? I mean, 66 books. If God had to just tell us about, I know it'll probably take the whole, as the song says, the sky could be parchments, and that will not be enough to talk about his love and all that he's done for us. And I would imagine even if we were trying to write God's characteristics, it's probably going to take that much space. But if he were to just describe for us the characteristics that he's demonstrated in God's word for us, and if he were to just give us the Ten Commandments and some of the regulations, we wouldn't have needed 66 books, is my simple mind saying that. But I believe he put those 66 books in there and all the examples of all the people that live in there, that are mentioned there, so that he could show us his attributes, and he could show it to us played out in the lives of people like each one of us. So we can have confidence that he is going to be faithful, and he does deal with mankind, and he wants us to know his attributes and wants us to appreciate him more. And that's why he's given us his word, for us to see his attributes and see his dealings with man. Can we not see God's faithfulness played out in the life of Abraham? Yes, Abraham was called a man of faith. He was known for being the man of faith, but Abraham was called out by God from the land of Uz. And we see the story about his faithfulness to God, but this story is really about God's faithfulness to Abraham and to all mankind. God promises to bless him, calls him out and promises to bless him and bless the whole world through him. And we see how God blessed Abraham through his life here on this earth. We see how he blessed the children of Israel through Abraham. And we also have seen how he blesses each one of us and blesses Gentiles too through his blessing to Abraham. God is faithful, and we see that very evident in the life of Abraham. When we look at Joseph, somebody who was sold into slavery, and he is able to say, but God meant it for good. When the Egyptians hated shepherds, God was creating a way for Jacob and his family to come to Egypt and survive the famine. In Psalm 105, verses 16 to 19, it says, he called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food, and he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. God proves his faithfulness through the life of Joseph. We look at Moses, we see the deliverance of Israel. Here God raises up one who is trained in the palace of Pharaoh, has to leave, one who is slow of speech, and he is used by God to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, back into the promised land. God is faithful. And you look at David, faithfulness to him and the promises made to him. In spite of David's failures, God is faithful. We remember David going before Goliath. David was not afraid, even though he was up against really impossible odds. Why was he not afraid? God had helped him when the lion and the bear came and tried to steal from his flock. He had that confidence. He had that experience. And so David had the confidence in a faithful God. David was sure of the unchanging God who would be with him, and that's how he had confidence to defeat Goliath. We have, again, the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not worship King Nebuchadnezzar's golden image, and they say, if we are thrown into the blazing fire, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. That's Daniel 3, verse 17. The God we serve is able to save us from the fire. We know the rest of the story. They were rescued from that blazing fire. We think of Daniel in the lion's den. He was put there because he would not bow his knee to worship King Darius. In Daniel 6, verse 16, he says, so the king gave the orders, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. But God was faithful to Daniel. Daniel 6:22, he says, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me. God was faithful to Daniel. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the story of Christmas. The Christmas story is one of the greatest examples of God's faithfulness. He creates man, man falls away from him, and in Genesis 3, he promises salvation will come. Early in creation, He continues to give glimpses into the Savior who is to come through various prophecies. And we find all these prophecies fulfilled 2,000 years ago in the baby that's born in Bethlehem. We also see his promises fulfilled in the life of Jesus, so how he lived his life, how he died, how he was resurrected, and his ascension. Brothers and sisters, our God is faithful, and he is faithful to his word. He continues on in the New Testament to be faithful, and we see his faithful dealings with Elizabeth and Zechariah, to Mary and Joseph, to Paul the Apostle. We also see his faithfulness to forgive us in our sins. In 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of us who were here at the worship meeting this morning would have claimed this verse as we examined ourselves before we took part of the Lord's table. He is faithful. Now, when we look into our own lives, when we examine our own lives, and can we not see that God has been faithful and that he's faithful to us? When we consider that the God of heaven chose us from among the billions in this world, the 6 or 7 billion people that are in this world, to be his children. When we consider the fact that he wants to use us in his vineyard. When we look at the families of God, the families that God has put us in, the families that he's given us, he is faithful. When we consider the health and strength and wealth that he's given us, he reminds us that he is faithful. When we consider the confidence we have in eternity, the confidence that we will be with him through eternity, he is faithful. When we see his love for us in spite of who we are, who we were, or even are today, we are reminded that God is faithful. God continues to save, he continues to provide, and he continues to comfort each one of us. In Romans 5:8 it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. His hand is still stretched out and seeks to call us to himself and call others around us to himself. God is faithful. He continues to save. So let us be serious in our taking the gospel to those around us. God is faithful and he continues to provide. In Philippians 4:19, which I think I've shared with you before, is one of my grandmother's favorite verses that she used to share to people that would come by her house. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God is faithful. He will provide. He has provided for each one of us this past year, and he will continue to provide. For those who are struggling with and need comfort, in Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. He is the God of compassion. He is the God who comforts us. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God is faithful. He continues to comfort us. So let us trust him for all the struggles and trials we might have in 2018. Let us remember, people are going to let us down, but God never will. When we are discouraged, let's remember God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3:23 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. each one of us, I'm sure, have gone through. I was talking to someone this past week and asking them when they came to know the Lord, and they brought up exactly a similar testimony as I would have had. I was brought up in a Christian home, and you know, I really don't know when exactly I might have been born again. I've done it so many times. When we doubt our salvation, let us remember that God is faithful. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. God has brought us to himself. No man can snatch us out of his hand, and he has given us eternal life. We know this coming year, whatever days that the Lord gives us, we are going to be tempted. Let us remember that God is faithful. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, it says, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. And of course, we remember 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Now, if we mess up in our lives, let's remember that God is faithful. In 1 John 1:9, again, my favorite verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we feel we are not up to the task, when we are unable to do what he's asking, what he is calling us to do, let us remember that he is faithful. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. When he calls us to do something for him, he gives us the strength and the ability to do it. Brothers and sisters, as we go into 2018, let us be sure that we're going into 2018 hand in hand with the one who reminds us in Luke 12:7 that every hair of our head is numbered. The one who knows us and is concerned about us. Romans 8:38 and 39 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's promises to us is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. His word reminds us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same as he was in 2017. He's going to be the same in 2018. In that confidence, in the confidence of having a faithful God, let us boldly enter into 2018, into each day that he gives us. Would you turn in the green book to Number 39, I'd like for us to sing the first verse, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We can sing it a cappella. Would you stand as we sing this? 39 in the green book.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your faithfulness. At the end of this year, we do indeed acknowledge that you have been faithful to each one of us, and it's by your faithfulness that we are here, and it's because of your faithfulness we are here on the last day of 2017. Father, we look back with thankfulness. We do indeed look back with regret, and we look back at all the struggles that we've had. But we are thankful that you were with us. And we are thankful this morning that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you were with us in 2017, you will be with us in 2018. And we're thankful that you are a never-changing God. Father, it's in that confidence that we go into 2018. We ask for your continued blessing on each one of our lives. We especially uphold our sister Judy before you and ask for your hand of healing for her, and that you bring her back to her family so that we can rejoice once again in your faithfulness, in your provisions. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.